Today I titled this sermon, Finally, My Brethren. Finally, My Brethren. We're back in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 4 just as a launching off place. And we're only going to verse 10. So you'll remember this. I covered this pretty extensively. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the admonition and training of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Father God, we just come to you today, and Lord, we've already received of your spirit, of your word, just a mighty move of God in this house. God, we thank you, Lord, for those instruments that you were able to use and just move through, Father. We give you thanks for that. Father, we do pray for our children that are going to youth camp, God, or to children's camp. And Lord, we just pray for safety. We pray, Lord, more than anything, that they would have an encounter with you that would change their lives forever. Father, I pray right now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. If we could just turn that air down a little bit or up a little bit. I blew my nose a few minutes ago and icicles come out, so no. Most of you know that I love the book of Ephesians. If I could only keep one book of the Bible in the New Testament, I'd keep Romans. But the second would be Ephesians. And so chapters 1 through 3 are very doctrinal. They set the stage of what you should believe, and he teaches you doctrine. But chapters 4 through 6 are all very applicational. They're how do you live the doctrine? And so doctrine that you don't live is worthless. You have to live. It's really not true doctrine if you're not living it, right? So you need to live it. But in the first, so far, what we've covered is salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. We've covered election and predestination. We've covered adoption. I was amazed at all the songs that you guys sang, that I thought, boy, that's right in the service. We taught about walking worthy of your calling. We talked about the fivefold ministry gifts. We talked about the new man versus the old man, the characteristics of both. We talked about the Holy Spirit and how we're to walk in love and walk in wisdom and walk in light. And then in chapter 5, he switches and he begins to talk about the relationships between believers, those of the church. You know, what should our relationship be together? What should our relation to the world be? And then he gets about verse 21, 22, he starts talking about the home. He starts talking about submission. He tells the husbands 3 times to love their husbands, to love their wives. And then he says, children, our husbands, train up your children, but don't exasperate them. And children are to obey their parents, and honor their parents. We covered most of that. I did cover that fathers are not supposed to exasperate or provoke their children. We are very good at that. We are very inclined to do that. That's why the Lord is instructing us, don't do that, because there's no benefit in that. We exasperate our children when we expect what they can't give, or when we're harsh, or when there's double standards. So we went through a whole litany of things of what causes that. I'm just trying to refresh your memory and bring it back to this part. But he goes on, he says, but we are given the task to train and to admonish, or to nourish and admonish our children. I think I said this last week. It is not the church's responsibility to teach your children about Christ. It is your responsibility. The church comes alongside of the moms and dads, and we help you, but don't, there's too many people just saying, well, go to church and learn that. No, no, you teach them. We'll come alongside of you and reinforce your teaching. But to train means to renounce the ungodly things. Let me tell you, I fully believe in sowing and reaping. It starts in Genesis, is where the Lord teaches us that. It's the one of the very first things he teaches us. If you teach your little boys that little boys will be little boys, right? They've got to sow, you know, they got to sow their wild oats. Well, you're going to reap that. You'll teach your little girls to be chaste and be good girls and keep their virginity, but you'll say to the boys, well, it's okay. You know, you need to experience life. That is, well, yeah, thank you. Garbage is a much better word than was going through my mind. It's ridiculous what we teach our children. Don't teach your children how to be ungodly. They'll get plenty of that. We have to admonish our children that there is a right way and there is a wrong way, and you need to stay on the right way. Do you remember your mama telling you two wrongs don't make a right? How about this one? You overcome evil by doing good? Mama didn't teach you that, did she? That's the word of God, right? That's the word of God. You know, that's one of the biggest questions I get. What should I do in this situation, Pastor? You know, everybody's being mean to me. You overcome evil by doing good. If you got somebody at work that's treating you bad, be extra good to them. Love them with the love of the Lord. Heaps coals of fire on their head is what the Bible says. But that's not exactly what you think. But we're supposed to teach them to be self-controlled. Think the world needs a little of that? Upright and godly. Admonished means to counsel about avoiding or stopping an improper conduct or course of conduct. It actually even means rebuking. There are times, dads, when you will have to administer the rod of correction with your children in love. The Bible says the rod of correction drives foolishness far from the child. I remember when I was talking to my kids and they said, well, we don't really believe in that. I thought, oh boy, I'm going to have brats for grandchildren. Edit that from the Facebook, please. Here's what I said. So now you're wiser than the word? Yeah, they didn't like it either. But that's what it is. Anytime you elevate your thoughts above what the Word of God says, you're saying, I don't trust the Word. I'll do what I think's right. And it goes a whole lot more than just disciplining our children, doesn't it? In Titus chapter 2, he says this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. How should we live? Soberly. That doesn't mean not drunk. That means intentional. We should be intentional as we live for God. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Why? Because we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, he is coming back again. Well, bless both of your hearts. The rapture of the church will happen. Man, I'm going to get some of you saved today. I just know it. He goes on. I'm not going to drag my feet on this, but he goes on. You know, the way I teach is I teach through the book, right? I start at the beginning. I teach verse by verse. I go all the way through. If I didn't teach that way, which most ministers do not, most ministers are topical, then they'll never touch this portion of scripture. And he talks about bondservants. But now when he talks about bond, the old King James would say slaves. And so bonds, he calls himself a bondservant. Now the closest that we get to this is employee-employer relationships. But let me just give you just a little bit of history that I think is really important. Back in 1860, when America was debating whether slavery was good or not, or was it right or not, was it righteous or not, both sides used the Bible to argue their point of view. Well, let me just be really, really clear. The Bible does not enforce, endorse, or anything positive about slavery. It never has, it never was. But what happened is when the church was birthed, they were birthed in an atmosphere that practiced slavery. There was a lot of slavery. All of Israel was slaves to Rome. If he had come against that system, they would have squashed the church immediately. So he did not address the system that was in because he wasn't trying to change the system. He was trying to change people. He was going for the hearts of people. So he gives us this. So I just want this to be real clear in your heart and in your mind. Paul, nor Jesus, nor the gospel was endorsing slavery. Next week we take communion. We're going to put something in that communion. Lee, no, don't give it to Lee. So he says a few things, and he talks about what is our relationship with the people that we work with. Has anybody ever worked for somebody that was very harsh? Yeah. Takes extra grace, doesn't it? And sometimes we want to retaliate because we think that we're entitled to that. Right? We believe that we're entitled to give our opinion, or we're entitled to throw a little fit because they're not treating me right. This does not teach that. Right? It teaches that we are godly all the time. Whether the people that are over us are godly, or whether they're kind, or whether they're harsh, does not change your attitude. Bless God, Pastor. That's good preaching. Let me just go on and say this. People ought to be lining up to hire Christians. When you go to an interview, don't do this. But when you go to the interview and you say, I'm a born again believer and I walk it out, I believe in the Word of God, they ought to say, hired. Because we have such a testimony of being the hardest workers in the place. But that is not the case. That's why I say, don't say that. Don't go into the interview and say you're a Christian, because they're probably going to say, see ya. I know Christians, and I don't want them working here. I've said many times before, I'd rather work with a bunch of heathens. Because heathens are true to who they are. Christians, most of the time, have a double standard. They act one way on Sunday morning and somewhere totally different on Monday. Shame on us. God's not called us to be double. He's called us to be true to our word. This gospel has got to be an everyday thing. We have got to walk it out. We are to walk in love, and it does not matter what they do to you. They can be the most hateful thing, but it does not give you the opportunity not to be loving. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh, for this is commendable. I left a little bit out. He says, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. For to this you were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. If there's one thing that gets on my nerves, it's this belief in the church that God wants us comfortable. That God saved us to make our life wonderful. No, God saved you so that you would be a world changer. And he's okay with you being a little bit uncomfortable from time to time, as long as it promotes the kingdom. I'm going to tell you, people watch you closer when you're going through difficulty than when everything's working out for you. When Jeff and Candy's house burned down, I've told you this story many times. When Jeff and Candy's house burned down, it was my uncle that spoke to me. And he said this, well, now we'll know what they're really made of. He knew one thing. He knew if you want to see what people are really like, then watch them when they go through difficulty. And I'm going to tell you, we're losing that battle a lot of times. Why? Because when bad things happen, we act just like the world. Our mouth flies open and our heart comes out. This church, as well as all churches, need a great revelation on the words of your mouth. Because we are blowing it. And I'm preaching a different sermon. I'm sorry. We are not to be people pleasers. We're not to work hard when the boss is watching us. We're to work hard all the time. Your boss ought to have so much confidence in you that he doesn't have to supervise you. He just tells you, hey, this needs done, and he walks off and goes do something else. Because he knows if he told you about it, it'd get done. Amen. Keep a good attitude. Why? Because the Bible tells us that everything we do is unto the Lord. Yes. So who is your boss? Ultimately, it's Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to please a man. I'm trying to please him. You know, there's a lot of preachers that try to please the church. It's a miserable situation because you can't please all of you. I can't please some of you. No matter what I preach, I offend people every week. Every week I offend somebody. Sweet little good me. I just don't get it. But my ultimate job is not to please you. It's to see you get to heaven. And I promise you this, when I stand before him, I'm not going to ask forgiveness because I didn't preach the word to you. You're going to hear it. So, now he does give a great admonition to bosses, to those who are employers. He said, don't be cruel. Don't be mean or unreasonable about what you're asking. And don't be cheap. Treat your employees as good as you can treat them. Be generous with them if it's within your means. Why? Because the Father, your God, is watching over you. And he's watching how you treat other people. And he's going to treat you the same way. Life's all about sowing and reaping. There's one little statement in this portion of scripture that's really easy to miss, and it's so important. And it says, there is no partiality with God. Sometimes we get in our head, well, God is good to them, and God's been good to them, but God's not good to me. Oh, woe is me. That's nonsense, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. God's good to all of us. The Bible says in Timothy that even when you're unfaithful, God is faithful. God's always faithful. He's always kind. He's always full of mercy and love. God is, there's no partiality. Romans 2:11 says, God shows no favoritism or partiality. Thank you, Jesus. Then he switches gear. I've untied my shoe. I ain't got time to tie it, so we'll just slip them off. Started bugging me anyway, so is that okay? We're preaching. Some of you on the front row may get a new anointing now. Tyler's already leaving. He says, finally, my brethren. Now, when you see those words, finally, my brethren, it sounds like he's in conclusion. He's not really talking about, I'm wrapping this all up. He's saying, finally, like I'm getting to a main point. This is, I've written you this book. Now, you understand that the book of Ephesians is written to the church at Ephesus, right? It's written to a group of people. They spread it around, and it's beneficial to all of us. But he is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's addressing all these things and building them up. And he says, finally, my brethren, talking to the church. Every word is important. Finally, my brethren, I'm not talking to unsaved people this morning. I am talking to the church of the living God. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's lots of people that are strong in different things. We have bodybuilders. Eric up here playing this guitar. His arm looks like my upper leg. I'm telling you. Tyler looks like the Atlas Man or... he's just a massive machine of a guy. And Paul actually addresses that. He says, bodily exercise does some good. But it's not as good as what I'm getting ready to give you. Bodily exercise won't get you to heaven. Bodily exercise won't help you overcome the devil. But what I'm fixing to tell you will. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. I've been accused that I don't believe in education. That's nonsense. I'm a big believer in a good education. But there's too many people that are way more dependent on their education than they are on the Lord. Amen. He does not say, finally, my brother, be strong in your education. Be strong in your finances. Be strong in your relationships. There's 1,000 things that you could add to that, and he does not add one of those. He said, be strong in the Lord. Know your God. Amen. Daniel said, those that know the Lord will do exploits, right? The more you know him, the more you know you can trust him, the more that you'll advance the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Now, if you've just got saved sometime shortly, you may feel inadequate. You probably will feel inadequate. I hope you do, actually. Because until you feel inadequate, you're not going to search for more. Right? So he says, be strong in the Lord. How do you get strong? You get strong by exercise. Right? Eric wasn't born with arms like that. He lifts weights. On lunch, the man is crazy. I'm telling you, he's got some problems. When he should be eating, he's lifting weights. I don't get it, but maybe that's why my arms look like little spindly things. The word be strong is in dunamo. That's the basic word is dunamis, which is the word that we get dynamite from. So the first part of that, en, means I-N, in us. In other words, this power has been put into a container of some sort. What is that container? It's us. We are the container that God wants to build his power plant. Oh, you didn't get that. Something wrong with your... God is building a power plant in you. Amen. In dunamo, it means explosive strength, ability, and power. It's the power that is deposited into a type of container. Be strong in the Lord and the power. Every one of these words means something a little different. So strong is in dunamo. Power is kratos. It's a demonstrated power. It's external. It's the outward manifestation, and it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. He said, be strong in the power. Be strong in what got Jesus out of the grave. And most of us think, well, that was Jesus. No! It wasn't just for Christ. It's for every one of us. I'm telling you, we got too many anemic Christians in the house. We need some powerhouses. We need people that will pray the prayer of faith and says, bring that child to me. Let's see God raise him up. Said, so, well, is that all about you? No, it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of heaven. It's about Jesus. It's the Kratos, the demonstrated power of his might. Might is, I think I've got that on the board, don't I? I hate to even try to pronounce this. Ischos. It's a strength, a force, an ability. It's the word picture. Oftentimes a Greek word would have a picture with it. And the picture with ischos would be a bodybuilder. It would be a man with great muscular capability. It's the strength, force, and ability that God wants to for you to walk into. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your might. We're not talking about human power. We're talking about supernatural power. I've said this many times before in this church. God wants to add his super to your natural so that he has supernatural beings in this earth. Anybody want to sign up for that class? I do. What will God do with a man or a woman that will dedicate themselves? How do you get strong, Pastor? By applying the word. You need the Spirit and the word. The Spirit leads us into all truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. So what happens is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, comes and takes the word, which is Jesus, and he brings that into your heart, breaks it down, and lets you understand that you don't have to act ungodly anymore. Christians, as long as we give access, as long as we give permission for ourselves to act like idiots, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about dumb. I'm talking about ungodly. As long as you give yourself permission that when I lose my temper, it's okay to talk like a sailor, you're going to talk like a sailor. Amen. And you know what you do when you do that? Everybody around you says, I told you she wasn't no different than me. Yeah. That's the way I talk when I get mad. I'm telling you, folks, time is being compressed. Don't you feel that?
Yes.
Time is, you know, America is not the time clock. You do know that, right? Israel is the time clock. Yeah. Has anybody noticed that Israel's in the news like every day?
Yes.
You better wake up. Time is going. It may go another 100 years. Or it may go another 100 days. We don't know. But when God comes back, will he find faith on earth?
Amen.
That's what the word says. Will he find faith on earth? God is not looking for you to be a normal Christian setting your butt on the pew.
That's right.
You hear me? God's not called us to be a denomination or to be religious.
That's right.
That sickens me, and I got a feeling it sickens him too. God's looking for somebody. Is there a container in the house that will allow the Spirit of God to use them? That will deny your own lusts and deny your own desires and say, God, count me as willing. Lord, I give you my yes. Use me. Say, who do you think you are? I know who I am. I'm a nobody. Until somebody came in, right? Until Jesus Christ came into my heart. Then I became somebody awful special. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure. What treasure? Whew. The treasure is the Holy Ghost. We have this treasure, this present that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, in this earthen vessel, this clay right here. I was thinking that today as they were reading all these scriptures, my mind went to Isaiah where he said, you're the potter and I'm the clay. And how often does the clay try to tell the potter, you're making me wrong? We need to ask the Lord to forgive us for trying to direct our own steps and say, God, you direct us. You have my yes. You tell me what you want me to do. You tell me where you want me to go. Tell me what you want to say. I'm your man. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power, the excellence of the dynamite may be of God and not of us. It's not about you. It's about the God you serve. I'm so thankful that God will use us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 through 21 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Hear all the same words. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. That's the evil power. And every name that is named, every name means cancer. You know, God is greater than cancer. God is greater than sickness. God is greater than poverty. His name is above all names. Hallelujah. Not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. Do you understand that when we get to heaven, we're still using his name? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is probably one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. You probably have heard me say that 1,000 times. And every time it's a different verse. It says, as his godly, kingly dunamis has given to Eric all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That's the election, the predestination, by which you have given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Did you get that? How many knows God's supernatural? How many knows you're not? You're not supernatural. Not until he adds his super to your natural. There's a promise in this. It's one of the greatest promises that I've seen in the Word. First of all, he says he'll give us everything we need for life and godliness. You'll never go through a problem that God cannot see you through it. Keep your eye on Jesus. Don't let the devil beat you over the head. You hear me? There's too many Christians walking in condemnation, and that's not of God. Shame is not of Christ. He's given us everything we need. But then the last few words of that, he says that he will make us a partaker. I'm a participant in the divine nature of God. I quote that verse every time I pray for the sick. Why? Because he invited me into his power. Yes. See, what we have is delegated authority. Jesus got all authority from the Father, and he delegated it to you. Are you getting this? Delegated authority. You have a check that's been signed, and it's probably sitting on your desk. It's time to cash the check. You hear me? It's time to check in. The world doesn't need more powerless Christians. The world needs people that know how to pray, that know how to call on the name of Jesus, that knows how to see the ungodly be delivered. There's no telling how many people you work with every day that are not demon possessed, but oppressed. They're not even calling their shots in their life. They're just being led by the devil and they don't know how to get out of that trap. You do. Do you realize the power of God that's in your hand? Oh, God is looking for some people. Are you hearing me today? God's looking for some people. Will you be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? Will you allow Jesus? You know, most Christians that I know won't even pray for people. Krisha had her shirt on the other day. Said, tap me on the shoulder and I'll be glad to pray for you. And I tapped her on the shoulder and she looked at me. And she just turned back around and I tapped her again on the shoulder and she looked at me again. I said, well, you said you'd pray for me. And she said, if you're going to wear that shirt, you better be careful. Somebody going to tap you on the shoulder. What if every one of us in this house today took the challenge to be God's person? God, use me. Put your divine in this container. Are you hearing me? I don't want to. Did you notice they kept reading Isaiah 55? Now, some of them didn't tell you as Isaiah, but I know Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord with all your heart. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts are far above your thoughts. That's all Isaiah 55. I'm telling you that 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet. He didn't understand that the New Testament was on the way. That Jesus was getting ready to transform man and to make something new. You can still say, well, God's ways are so much higher than our ways and His mind is so much higher. No, that's nonsense today. You've been given the mind of Christ. Now what's it take? It takes the Word of God to redeem your thoughts. You can either think like the devil and think like the world, or you can go to the Lord and say, would you renew my thoughts? I'm tired of thinking like they do. Amen. We're giving up too quick. Our life is a battlefield. If you're not in a battle, you're fixing to get into one. Or you just come out of one. Where is the battle? Between your ears. Satan is after your mind. You know, there's a great book. I wish I could remember the name of it. Write this down. If any of you have emotional problems, where you feel like you can't get control, Conquering the Chaos of Your Mind by Eddie Turner. I keep giving that book away and people keep stealing it from me. They won't bring it back. Conquering the Chaos of Your Mind. This was a pastor, been Christian all of his life, and the devil had him convinced that he was demon possessed. A pastor. He got so bad he couldn't leave his house except to go preach. And he had to preach because he had to make a living. But he was defeated until the Lord began to reveal to him. I believe I'm talking to somebody today. See, I know what the struggles of the mind are like. I've been there. I've done that. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is greater. He is, you hear me? Jesus' name above all names. I said a few minutes ago, His name is greater than cancer. Well, I got news for you. His name is greater than depression also. I know a lot of us suffer depression, a lot of blue days and stuff like that, but I'm telling you, Jesus will break you out of that shell if you want to be broke out. Our life was never intended to be easy or comfortable. If you're not fighting your own flesh, you have an enemy like a roaring lion. Sometimes it seems like all we do is battle our desires. Satan is in that. Satan is doing that to you. And I'm telling you, the word of the Lord today is finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. You hear this? I hope this is sinking in. This is not optional. I'm not saying if you want this, you can do this. I'm saying if you don't do this, you may not make it to heaven. And if you make it to heaven, you're going to get there defeated. You're going to go to heaven and say, I'm so glad I made it. And Jesus is going to say, well, I am too, but you sure didn't bring nobody with you. Come on, don't we want our life to count?
Yes.
Don't you want to lead so? You know, I don't think Africa is that different than the world, than America. I think there's people on our streets that if they were given the gospel, they would say, yeah, I'll take Jesus. But they don't hear the message of Jesus. All they get is religion. And most of us are sick of religion. What we, you know, Paul, what he said, I didn't come to you with strong words. I came to you with a demonstration of the dunamis. The power of God. Folks, I know tomorrow you're headed to work. Back to the battlefield. Back to where your faith will be challenged. Stand up for Christ. Stand up. Don't back down for what you believe. You understand that He is greater than everything that we go through. And He has invited us into the divine nature of God. When I saw that, it blew me away. I thought, Lord, you're going to allow me to touch your divine. You know, in the Old Testament, a man touched the divine, he was struck dead. But in the New Testament, Jesus says, come. All of you that are thirsty, come. Come and taste and see the goodness of God. Come and taste that this is not religion. This stuff will change your life and will change your world. There are some people that are so close to divorce and all they need is Jesus. Are you getting that? What is your problem today? Do you know Jesus can change it? Jesus can change your circumstance. Be strong in the Lord. This is the way Rick Renner wrote it. He's a Greek expert. Be strong in the Lord and in the powerful, outwardly demonstrated ability that works in you as a result of God's great muscular ability that is working behind the scenes. Do you know that the Lord is working even when you don't see it or feel it? God is at work for your benefit. Stand with me. Well, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel like... I'm wrestling right now. I feel like you need to answer that question. So if you're ready to become strong in the Lord, I want you to just take a step out of your seat, come and stand at the altar, and ask Jesus for a revelation of the knowledge of God. And I want you to come and say, Lord, as I come, I'm giving you my yes. I'm saying yes to the power, yes to the might, yes to the dunamis in this flesh. I ask you, Lord, for strength in the Lord and the power of your might. God, I pray, let the strong man arise in me right now. Father God, you know who's responding to this message right now, Lord. And I pray, Father, that their hearts have been caught on fire for the things of God. I pray, Lord, that there's a bit of a dissatisfaction right now in their heart towards what they've been doing or been living like. And I pray, God, that they are saying to you, I want more. I want more of your power. I want more of the demonstrated ability of God in my life. And for that, I know that I have to yield myself to you so that you will give me more of you. So Jesus, right now, I pray, Lord, that everybody that has responded to this message would submit their heart to you and cry out to you and say, God, give me more. Give me more, God. I want to see the power. I want to see the great ability. I want to see what you will do with my life if I just totally yield it to you. God, have your way in me. I pray right now that the power of the Holy Ghost would fall upon us. Let the power and the fire burn off the dross, burn off the things that are ungodly in our life, Lord. And let Jesus live large in me, God. Let my words change, my thoughts change, my actions change. Let me be a better demonstration and a better picture of who you really are. Jesus, I yield myself to you. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. If you're not born again, you can't have the power until you give your heart to Jesus. The Bible says you must be born again. Born of water, born of the Spirit. You see, Jesus wants to put his presence in your heart, but he can't do it until you ask him. So if you're here today and you've never prayed the prayer to ask Jesus into your heart, it goes something like this. I can't pray it for you. You have to pray it yourself. But you just say something like this. Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. And I know that I need a Savior. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. I pray the Spirit of God, that power that Pastor has talked about. I pray, Lord, that I am the container that you will come in. I pray, Spirit of God, come and live large in me. I don't want to live for the devil another day of my life, but I want to live for Jesus. I want to hear your voice and I want to do what you say. God, I'm asking you, make me part of the divine nature of God. Use me, Holy Spirit. If you prayed any sort of that prayer, Jesus will say yes. He will come and forgive you and you will be born again. But you need to tell somebody today that I prayed that prayer. And then we need to set up a time to baptize you. So let us know. We love to baptize people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come? You can just stand there. We'll end with the blessing. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. God is good. God is good all the time.
I'm sorry. Is there somebody that says, man, I sure was hoping they would pray for me? Anybody here says, I really wanted you to pray for me? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't Lee's testimony wonderful this morning? Yeah. Getting to hear. It's been a year and a half since I got to go to Africa, and hearing him talk about it just took me right back, and I got to relive all of that. So, but he made a good point. You know, he says if you ever get the opportunity to go and to share the gospel, it's more wonderful than you can ever imagine. But I know a lot of people, they hear that and they think, you know, the idea of getting on an airplane and going to the other side of the planet makes me hyperventilate. But you're in luck. Because Saturday, you can just go across the street and share the gospel and give food away. So come 1 o'clock Saturday, and you get to experience a piece of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.